text that we consider is that 13th verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, is that your confession? Is that your confession, husbands and wives, as you seek to love one another as Christ loved the church? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that your confession, parents, as you seek to be faithful in the instruction of your children? Is that your confession, young people and young adults, as you face the temptations of the world that surrounds us? Is that your confession, you who are elderly, as the world becomes smaller and smaller? Is that your confession, office bearers, as you deal with the issues that come before you in the church? Is this our confession as we battle, as all of us battle besetting sins? Is this our confession as we face disease and even death itself? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By the grace of God, it is our confession. When the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, puts these words in his epistle, he is not simply making that confession for himself, but he puts that confession into the mouths of all of God's people. We may rightly say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's helpful to recall some of what the Apostle Paul had gone through as background to this confession. We find a list of that. We're not going to turn to it, but in 2 Corinthians 11, the Apostle lists many of the difficulties that he faced. He was scourged on 5 separate occasions. He received the 40 lashes minus 1. He received that treatment 5 different occasions. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned and left for dead on one of his missionary journeys. He was shipwrecked and had to float in the deep for a night and a day. He faced dangers from robbers as he traveled on his missionary journeys. He faced dangers from pagans who hated the word that they heard. He faced hunger and thirst. He faced the burden of caring for the churches. And when he wrote this epistle to the Philippians, he was in prison. And in that context, that was what he had experienced, and probably many other things, he could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Although he faced all those things, he continued to preach the gospel in obedience to the call of Jesus Christ. How can you and how can I be faithful in the calling that God gives to us? How can we be faithful in the midst of all the temptations and struggles that surround us? Well, the apostle gives the answer. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. So we want to treat the text under the theme, I can do all things. And let's note in the first place the ability that that expresses, but secondly, the possibility of that, which is not in ourselves. And then lastly, the strengthening, the implications of the strengthening that we receive from Christ. The inspired Apostle Paul, beloved, teaches us to confess, I can do all things. There's more to it than that. But there is that. There is the ability that he expresses. And of course, he's not saying, I can do all things without qualification. He's not saying, I can run a marathon in 2 hours. He's not saying, I can live to be 120 years old. He's not speaking of all things without qualification in an absolute sense. But he's talking in the first place, and the context makes it clear, he's talking about Christian contentment. In the context, he speaks of learning to be content. Verse 11, right before our text, he says, verse 11 and 12, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You see what the apostle is saying? I have learned, no matter what, I've learned, no matter what God sends to me in his providence, whether he sends me plenty or he sends me dearth, whether he gives me an abundance or he causes me to suffer lack, I have learned in all of those circumstances to be content. And then he goes right into our text, I can do all things. And he's speaking of all those things, all those circumstances that God put upon him in his providence. I can submit to God's will in all of those things that he in his providence brings upon me. Whether now for ourselves that involves dealing with some disease, whether it has to do now that God in his providence has brought upon us chronic pain that we have to deal with day after day after day that never goes away, whether that concerns some disability that we have or persecution that we experience or bereavement, all of those things that God in his providence brings upon us, the principle of the apostle is the principle, I can do what God calls me to do. I'm able to be content in those circumstances. I'm able to submit to His will. But then you understand that the principle that applies narrowly to contentment, submitting to God's will in those circumstances, also applies broadly. The principle applies to all those things that God calls us to do. Every duty. The Apostle Paul was called to be content, and he submitted himself to that. But obedience in general, this text speaks to that. Does God call us to be content? Yes, that's what the apostle spoke of first. But what about the other things to which God calls us? Does He call us to be faithful as witnesses in the world or in the workplace, even though we may be ridiculed for our faith? Does God call us in a difficult circumstance to forgive someone who has sinned against us? Does God call us to live chastely and temperately as regards our sexual purity? Then our confession with the apostle is, I can do all these things that God calls me to do. By His grace, I am able to be content with the circumstances that God places upon me, knowing that they are for my good and for His glory. By His grace, I am able to choose affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By His grace, I am able to forgive. By His grace, I am able, in whatever circumstances He sends upon me, I'm able to rejoice in the Lord always. I can do all these things that God calls me to do. That's a striking confession, is it not? Maybe we're thinking to ourselves, that cannot be. How can that be? Because our flesh wants to say the very opposite often. I cannot possibly be content in the circumstances that God has placed upon me, we might say. I cannot possibly rejoice in the Lord always. Always? I cannot possibly avoid being anxious in this or that circumstance. I cannot be of one mind with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I cannot forgive. We're tempted to say the opposite of what the apostle has confessed. I cannot do these things. And maybe we say that because we consider our old sinful natures. We think to ourselves, how could I possibly do that when I am so sinful? And how could I possibly do that when I am so weak? I'm just a creature of the dust. And yet the Apostle Paul says it. And maybe we think to ourselves, yes, but that's the Apostle Paul. And then we forget that the Apostle Paul was a normal human being, like you and I are. He was not a super Christian that had basically arrived almost already in heaven. We think of those saints that are recorded in Scripture and we see what they did and we think to ourselves, I could never do those things. We see someone like the Apostle Paul or the prophet Elijah confronting wicked King Ahab, who with Jezebel had killed the prophets. Well, Elijah must have been super spiritual. And Paul must have been sanctified to such a degree that we could never even reach that point. But that's not what the Scripture says. Elijah, after his great victory on Mount Carmel, when he was threatened by Jezebel, he understood that he was just a man. He ran away, fled from Samaria. What does Elijah say? 1 Kings chapter 19, he says, I am not better than my fathers. I'm not any better than my fathers. And James tells us about Elijah. James says Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. Elijah, just a normal human being, also had doubts, also had fears, also became anxious. He was a man of like passions as we are. And what does the Apostle Paul say about himself? He says, oh, wretched man that I am. He doesn't call himself a super Christian. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says to Timothy, I am the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. And yet he could also make this confession, I can do all things. We forget that Elijah and Paul and every other saint in Scripture, Noah, and the list could go on and on. They all had only small beginnings of new obedience. And yet, even though they were weak sinners, and even though we are weak sinners, creatures of the dust, following the example of the Apostle Paul, we can say, I can do all things that God calls me to do. That's the ability. But the possibility is not in ourselves. The possibility does not arise from ourselves. The text does not say, when the apostle makes this confession and puts that same confession in our mouths, the apostle does not say, I can do all things through myself. He doesn't say that. He doesn't even say, I can do all things through myself with some help from Jesus Christ. No, he says, I can do all things through Christ. You and I are not the possibility of being able to do all things. You and I are not the ones who make it possible for us to do all that God calls us to do. By nature, we can do nothing Apart from the grace of God, there is no possibility of doing what God calls us to do. And Jesus makes that abundantly clear. We can't even begin to do what God calls us to do apart from the grace of God. What does Jesus say? John chapter 15. He says, "The branch cannot bear fruit of itself." It can't be done. Take the branch, and if it is separated from the vine, it will not, it cannot bear fruit. And so a little bit later, Jesus says to his disciples, "Without me, ye can do nothing." That is, you cannot do anything that God calls you to do. You cannot bear any good fruit apart from me. And that means, beloved, if you and I attempt to do what God calls us to do in our own strength, apart from God's grace, then we will be sorely disappointed. We will fail. I like the example of Peter. Familiar example. Children, you know the example of Peter. Before Jesus Christ was crucified, Jesus gave that specific warning. He said to his disciples, "Satan has desired to sift you as wheat." He told them that they would deny him that very night. He told Peter that Peter would deny him that very night. What does Peter answer when Jesus says, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night"? Peter says, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And we know what happened. When Peter went forward in his own strength, he denied Jesus three times. Just prior to that, even after the first warning, when they were in the garden, Jesus had reminded Peter again, had come to Peter, and Peter was sleeping with James and John, and he says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." Now remember that. We'll come back to that watching and praying. But when Peter went on in his own strength, he fell. And so, beloved, it is with us. When you and I imagine that we are able to obey God and honor God in our own strength, we are going to be disappointed. If we think that we're going to be content in whatever circumstances God sends us, apart from God's grace, then we are fooling ourselves. If we think that we are going to battle besetting sins in our own strength, if we think to ourselves, "I just have to try harder," we're going to see that doesn't work. If we think that we're going to be of the same mind with one another apart from that wisdom that comes from above, we will be disappointed. And if we think that we are going to properly love our spouses, our husbands and our wives, our children, our brothers and sisters, if we think we're going to love them rightly, in our own strength, we have another thing coming. The text implies that apart from God's grace, you and I can do nothing that is pleasing to God. The possibility does not arise from ourselves. And the apostle makes that very clear. I can do all things through Christ. That's the possibility. Through Christ, you and I can do all things that God calls us to do. And that's true in at least two aspects. Christ is the possibility in the first place, because he earned for us all the blessings of salvation. Jesus Christ, who took upon himself human flesh, took upon himself the form of a servant, was perfectly obedient to the Father, went all the way to the cross, and gave himself a ransom for us. By that perfect sacrifice, he earned for us all the blessings of salvation. By that sacrifice, he earned for us our forgiveness, but he also earned for us the blessing of sanctification, that work of God by which God molds us into the image of Christ. Christ is the possibility of our being molded in his own image, because he earned for us every blessing of salvation. That in the first place. But in the second place, Christ is the possibility because that same Christ now sits in heaven. Now he rules from heaven. He sits at God's right hand, and he has all those blessings that he has earned for us, and he can dispense those blessings to us. And he does. He applies to us that salvation he has already earned for us. He works in us by his Spirit so that now we desire to do what God has called us to do. We desire to walk in obedience. And by his Spirit, he works in us so that we actually do that which God has called us to do. I don't say we do it perfectly, but we do it. That's the pattern of the saints in Scripture. How is it that Elijah could be so bold as to confront wicked King Ahab? How is it that Elijah could confront all those wicked prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel? It was by the Spirit. And now we could go back to Peter, who in his own strength denied Jesus three times, denied that he even knew Jesus. What happened when the Spirit was poured out? Now Peter, in the strength of the Spirit of Christ, and that really is the whole book of Acts. The book of Acts is that which Jesus Christ continued to do. When the Spirit of Christ was poured out, Peter preached boldly. He confronted the Jews with the very fact that they had crucified Jesus Christ by wicked hands, was not afraid to accuse them of their crime, and then to preach that that same Jesus had been raised from the dead. Later on in the book of Acts, chapter 4, Peter and John had been brought, put into prison and questioned by the Jewish leaders. And by the Spirit of Christ, Peter boldly declared Jesus Christ, the man that they had healed prior to that. Peter was not afraid to say, this man has been healed by the power of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 5, we read that the disciples were put in prison again and threatened. Did that stop Peter from preaching? By the Spirit of Christ, he continued obedient. And even later in chapter 12 of Acts, when Herod had Peter in prison and was going to kill Peter, James had already been killed. When Peter was released by the angel, he didn't say to himself, that's enough now. I almost just died, was almost put to death because of my preaching. Now I'm going to quit. Not at all. He continued obedient because of the Spirit of Christ. That's how we explain how Elijah and how Peter could do the things they did through Christ. Christ is the explanation why you and I want to live to the glory of God. I don't say we have a perfect desire, but we do have that desire. Christ is the possibility and the explanation for wanting to be faithful witnesses. Christ is the possibility of Christian contentment. Christ is the possibility of being able to flee sexual immorality. Christ is the possibility of forgiving our neighbor. He is the possibility of being able to do all things that God calls us to do. That does not mean that now Christ does it all for us. There are those in a misguided zeal for the glory of God who would say, Christ does it all for me. I've heard people say things like, I cannot do anything. And what they're talking about in the conversations that I've had, they mean, I cannot obey God in any way, shape, or form. And then they hold, the implication is, the only way that any good is done is if Christ does it for them. And the way they talk, it's as if we were simply puppets or robots without any will, so that we ourselves don't do it, we don't will to do it, and we don't do it ourselves. What does it imply? Well, it implies this. I don't believe. Christ believes for me. Christ repents for me. Christ obeys for me. And in the end, they hold that Christ does all things for them, Christ does all those things that God calls them to do, and they don't do it at all. But that's not the text. The Apostle Paul does not say, Christ does all things for me. The Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. And now it's true. And this is part of the mystery of our salvation. We cannot understand this completely, but it is true that it is God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God works in us. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. But that does not mean He does it for us. It's not as if now we ourselves are inactive. Rather, God works in us so that we will, we desire it, and so that we do it. When God works in us, we become active, both willing and doing what God calls us to do. Christ, by His Spirit, does not do all things for us. Rather, He strengthens us. If it was simply Christ that did it for us, it doesn't make sense to say that He strengthens us. Why would He strengthen us? If He already does it for us and we have no strength at all, it doesn't make sense to say Christ strengthens me. Literally, the text says Christ, or describes Christ as the strengthening me Christ. Puts those all together as one phrase, the strengthening me Christ. That's what He does. He strengthens us. And when He strengthens us, we are enabled to do what God calls us to do. He is the one who enables us. And now we find that same thought in other parts of Scripture. I point to two places. Ephesians 3, verse 16. The Apostle Paul prays for the saints, and he says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened in the inner man. When He strengthens us, when God, according to the riches that He has in glory, when He strengthens us, then we are able to do what God calls us to do. We have another example in Colossians 1, verse 11. There the apostle prays for us, prays for the saints, that we would be strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. What's the result when God strengthens us? According to that passage in Colossians, we are strengthened unto patience. How is it that I can be patient in a godly way? Because Christ strengthens me. Strengthens me and strengthens you unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. When Christ strengthens us, then we are able to do what God calls us to do. And all of this happens as we abide in Christ. The original Greek for our text, we could translate this way: I can do all things in the strengthening me, Christ. And that word in, speaking of us as being in Christ, points to a close association that we have with Christ. God, by His grace, unites us with Christ. And as we are united to Christ, and as then we abide in Christ and He abides in us, He strengthens us so that we bear fruit. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus is speaking to His disciples. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And the idea is that He has grafted us into Himself, united us to Himself. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. What fruit? What is that fruit? The fruit is to do those things that God has called us to do. The fruit is the fruit of good works that flow from that. And so we could say, I can do all things as I abide in Christ and He abides in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that shows us, beloved, that the confession, I can do all things, ought not to stop with that phrase. It's not meant to be a pat on the back. It's not meant to make us proud so that we simply say, I can do all things. As if to say, now look at me and look at what I can do. Rather, we must, in our hearts and with our mouths, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because the more we understand that, beloved, the more we will understand our need of Christ in order for us to walk in obedience. The more we understand our need of His strengthening, then the more we will pray to Him. The more we understand the need of His riches, the more we will rely upon Him. And the more we understand that, the more we will pray for His strength. I don't say that when we pray, go out and pray, and all of a sudden God will make us perfectly strong and we will overcome all our sins and walk in perfect obedience. Not at all. We have only a small beginning. Christ was the only one who ever obeyed perfectly. But as we look to Christ, for His strength. As we daily pray to Him, He strengthens us. Now we come back to that phrase that Jesus warned Peter about, watch and pray. Peter neglected that. He did not watch and pray. He went forward in his own strength, and we know what happened. We ought to learn from that to watch and pray. When temptations arise, when difficulties arise, when we think to ourselves, this is impossible, well, it is in our own strength. So we call upon God and pray for that strength that Christ earned for us. As I prepared this sermon, I couldn't help but bring up this passage from Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verse 31, that speaks of that praying to God. It speaks of our praying to God as waiting upon the Lord. I'll just read that. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That waiting upon the Lord is calling upon Him to strengthen us so that we can walk in the ways He calls us to walk, so that we can do what He calls us to do. So don't go forward in your own strength, and I speak that to myself too, how often I try to do that. But trust in Christ to supply our strength. Call upon Him to give you the strength to do that which He calls us to do, which otherwise would be impossible. Pray to Him for grace to do what He calls you to do. And then you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy strengthening. For apart from Thee, we can do nothing. Teach us, we pray, to rely upon Thee, to go forward in our pilgrimage from strength to strength, not in our own strength, but looking always to Thee, that we may bring honor to Thy name. Forgive us where we have fallen short, where we have forgotten where our strength lies, and teach us always to look to Christ. We pray all of this in His name. Amen.